Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. A bit of a just throwing me under the bus there, Timmy. No intro, no audio, no music, no promo.
Val Venus intro.
Yeah, let's play. Can we play that right now?
No, it's already been done.
Let's play it, Tim.
Yeah, don't play it. This segment is brought to you by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. For over 25 years, Rumors has been Winnipeg's home for the best in stand-up comedy. For a list of performers and showtimes, visit rumorscomedyclub.com. If you don't have tickets for tonight,
cut it out.
Dave
Cut
Coulier,
it out, Drew.
Five sold-out shows all this weekend at Rumors. And, of course, in case you missed our tweeting of it, you can go back on the Illegal Curve Twitter timeline and you can see the picture from when we played hockey with Dave Coulier. Whose birthday was that?
It was your 45th.
It was my 19th.
Your 19th birthday? Yeah. So some young picture of some young Illegal Curve players playing hockey with Dave Coulier from, what was that, 9 years ago?
Richie's 19th birthday, that's when I used to be a size 34 waist.
What do you know?
54?
30, closer to 36. I'm trying to cut down. Timmy actually said it looked like I'd been working out. I was at the Rady JCC recently doing some cardio. I'm thinking about doing spin class, so that was a lot of fun. Dave Coulier, cut it out, man. He was the best.
Big hockey player, too.
Yeah,
very
good wrist
player.
Shot. Yep.
Yeah,
good skills.
Players.
Backward skating was very nice.
Let's talk about his trading worth on the.
Let's go back to
first round pick.
Tobias Enstrom.
Let's get his name right first.
Yeah, first of all, Tobias Enstrom. He's under contract this year, $3.75 million. He's under contract next year, $3.75 million.
Pretty good deal for Tobias Enstrom.
It is.
Unrestricted free agent following next
broken
season.
Broken clock right, is right twice a day.
Right. Unrestricted free agent after next season. Should Tobias Enstrom be on the trade market for the Winnipeg Jets as we approach this trade deadline?
Richie, can I step in here? I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you know, Tobias, the Jets season has been, you know, significantly affected by injuries. And there are a lot of teams, if not every team in the NHL, who's affected by injuries. You can go up and down the list, A to Z or A to W, because there is no team that starts with a Z. But Tobias Enstrom, I mean, you know, had the broken clavicle. Was it clavicle?
Yeah.
And he missed 20 games. And I mean, his season, and he's come back and it's affected him. Last year, Tobias Enstrom, I believe, had in the low 50s points, and he was really good for Atlanta for the last 3 years. And I think he was there for 4 years.
Yes, he was.
So Tobias Enstrom, as far as I'm concerned, it's tough to really judge him in Winnipeg this year because of that injury. But, you know, putting that aside, I think that he's a key component of the team. And when you factor in that you're going to be losing some veterans, possibly in Johnny Oduya and Ron Hainsey, but just because of the fact that their contracts are expiring, even though Enstrom's is as well, I would say no, because he's going to, you know, constitute a huge part of the team going forward and his age and his skill set.
But
so I you'd have to get something very good back for Tobias Enstrom.
Oh, well, this is why I wanted to bring this up. I'm a big Tobias Enstrom fan, have been since day one, and I think he's an underrated player. He's a good skater. He's a great puck mover. I mean, right now he's got 19 points in 30 games for the Jets this year. Now he's not going to, defensemen don't shoot 8.7%, but I mean, that's going to come down a bit. And, you know, he has some defensive drawbacks. I like his game a lot. I think he is built for the new NHL, quote-unquote. It's been years now, but new NHL.
He's great on the power play.
He's great. And he's the kind of guy that, the reason I ask this is let me spell it out. He's 27 right now. He'll be 28 when he comes up for UFA status after next year, okay?
Yeah.
So the question is, in the middle of next season, next summer, he'll be 28 years old, a UFA. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
What will he cost to re-sign is a question. And what value you're going to get out of him. Maybe more importantly, will the Jets be competing during his prime? It's kind of one that goes back to the Phil Kessel thing. Like, if he's going to be signed to, say, a four-year deal by the Jets from, you know, ages basically 28, 29 through 33, 34, okay?
That's right.
So about 32, 33. And those are still good defensive years, better than they are for forwards.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, are you giving him big-time money? Are you getting any value out of him? And by the time during those years, are the Jets contending, or are they contending close to when the contract is up? And at that point, the question is, looking to now, can you get a king's ransom for a guy like this at the trade deadline, or really at the trade deadline, because you get him for a season in a bit.
Yeah.
Can you get a king's ransom for him? Can you get something that will help you so in 3 to 4 years, when you're wanting to contend, you have these ready 22-year-old guys, not a 32-year-old guy?
You want everybody peaking at the same point. You want everybody to be at their peak for the most part, you know, right at the same time. You want Evander Kane and Alex Burmishov and all these guys to be at their peak performance in 2-3 years down the road, and you want everybody doing it.
And you want to structure so they're not, you know, they don't all come up in one.
Of course, you know what I'm saying. But you want your players at their
right.
best
right.
at the same time, so that the team will be performing its best. If you re-sign Tobias Enström, like you said, mm-hmm. and you keep him under contract, what's the upside for doing so? How much better is the team going to be with him than without him?
Well, I mean, if you're trading him for young prospects and picks, I mean, he's a lot better than your run-of-the-mill NHL defenseman. Then your replacement-level defenseman, he's a lot better.
Right.
And he makes your team better. But the question is, does he make an average team okay? I mean, average team good? And what does that get you at the end of the day?
Does he put this team into 7th, 8th in the Eastern Conference or in the playoffs? Or does he put them into 2-3 in the playoffs?
I would argue that he has the capability to do that. And he,
oh, I agree.
Well, the capability is a very loaded word, but I think...
Love his game.
And Tobias Enström, I think when he was out, you really saw, and Bufflin, you really see that the penalty kill has, pardon me,
he
the
reminds
power
me of
play
Brian
has
Rafalski
gone down.
A bit. Smaller guys, shoots a different way.
Yep.
Their games are somewhat similar.
And if you're talking about a Brian Rafalski, I think you have to re-sign him after next year. And I think that True North has to be considering him one of the big guys.
Well, let me
they
put
have
it to this
re-sign
way.
After next year. This year,
no, no.
The two me, guys, big guys this year are Kane and Pavlik.
Let me say this. If you don't trade him... I'd rather see him traded this trade deadline than next trade.
I don't
deadline.
Want to see him traded.
You
at
either
all.
Trade him now or you sign him long term.
Right,
I agree with that, Drew.
Yep. So you sign him long term.
If you trade him now, your value for trading him this off this trade deadline is significantly more than if you trade him next trade deadline.
Latest summer. Summer's the latest.
And Richie, I think they should. I think they should. I think he's that good.
I'm not saying they should or shouldn't. I'm saying
I know
these. And for, let me just point this out.
I think he's
for anybody.
He
you know,
I don't know what his value. What if he's asking too much money? Then you got to trade him.
We don't know. We're not privy to those conversations. And for anybody who's going to say, "Oh, you guys are hating on Tobias," we're not. What we're trying to do here is take you inside what the decisions that the general managers must make. And this is a decision that mm-hmm. Kevin Cheveldayoff, when he looks at his roster, has to decide when do I try to either re-sign these guys or trade them for their peak value.
Right.
Because that's when you got to do it. You got to trade a guy at its peak,
and
he's already on the downside of his peak.
Right. Okay.
Yep. Go ahead, Ezzy.
Yeah, I think he is that good. And you know, Richie mentioned this last segment when we were talking about Johnny Oduya and Ron Hainsey. Those are two guys, and we're not going to start the rumor mill or anything like that, but there's a good chance one or two of those guys will be traded. A good chance. Once again, we're not saying it's going to happen or we have any inside information. There's a good chance based on their contract situations and the depth the team has on defense.
Now,
Bogosian's not going anywhere. No, Bufflin's not going anywhere. Stewart's not going anywhere. Enstrom's not going anywhere.
Well, hold on. I mean,
that's what we're saying right now.
Darren Decker said yesterday on TSN that Enstrom, Bogosian, and Bufflin aren't going anywhere. And I don't know if they are or not. I think it's worth considering and discussing. As again, at the same time, that Mark Stewart's a heart and soul of this team. They get a really good offer for him. They have to consider
tough
training.
As nails.
How much money
Bogosian
do you want?
Bogosian is a guy they're not going to deal, and I think Bufflin is somewhat untradeable. I think it's to the extent that his contract's pretty big and people aren't sure.
And how much money do you want tied up?
And our friend Hart Jacob bought a Bufflin jersey, so they can't trade him now.
Okay. How much money do you want tied up in your back end long term? Because if you're not trading Bufflin and you're not trading Hainsey, pardon me, if you're not trading Bufflin and you're not trading Enstrom and you're not taking Bogosian, you're going to have $15 million tied.
That's fine. I mean, if they're three really good defensemen, that's fine. As long as you're not overpaying for the 5-6 guys, which they're doing right now, which was Waddell and Dudley and not Cheveldayoff.
Right.
I mean, you get rid of Oduya and Hainsey, $8 million off your books, cap hit.
That's the point right there. And when Richie did his analysis of the team, that was the whole thing. The Jets have too much money locked up in their defense for the amount of money they spend. The Jets are in the bottom 10 teams spending. They're around $54 million. The cap is $64 million. I might not be exact there, but roughly they're $10 million under the cap. Is that about right?
Yeah, sure.
And so when that money is cleared up, then $12 million under the cap. There's your extra money to sign Enstrom after next year. So then you can sign him for $5 or $6 million, even maybe overpay him. And you know, this is a decision that's maybe me being a little bit... objective or not enough objective,
no,
but he is. I think he is that good that you want to include him because then you have the 1-2 Bogo, Enstrom. Sorry, 1-2-3 actually Bogo Enstrom Buff punch.
And
that's one of the best in the
league. Offensive defensemen are hard to find. I think at the end of the day, you and I want to evaluate this even closer. I might actually write a piece on this. But I think it's worth considering. And if you're asking for the salary contracts, it doesn't hurt to put out feelers out there. What can I get for a guy like this? Guys like this aren't generally available. Will it be a King's ransom? Will it be the offer that's
be a top six forward.
Too good to refuse.
And the Jets need at least a couple of top six forwards, if not three or four.
What if it's draft? I mean, and then the question is, you know, Kevin Sheldahl's on a 5-year contract. He doesn't have to panic about, you know, this plan. He can make a
move.
He's
not Scott Housen.
And guys, once again, you could argue that the biggest this is what you're saying. The biggest tradable asset he has right now could be Enstrom. When you factor in that Wheeler's not going anywhere the way he's played. Ladd's not going anywhere. He's the captain.
Well, Wheeler
we'll
there's no
forwards.
I would agree with you.
He's the most valuable asset. Enstrom,
because he's the closest
Chevy
guy.
He's
the closest real big name guy on this team. Who's
Enstrom
to be a UFA?
Most tradable asset.
And he can get you the most for it. So I think just part and parcel of being a proper general manager is doing your due diligence on what does the market hold for a guy like Toby Enstrom.
Needs to be explored, and I'm sure Shavadoff is exploring it. But let's talk. We're talking about it.
Yeah, and I mean so. I mean, and that's something it's worth. So if it happens, you know, it's not, don't be completely shocked. It might be too good of an offer to pass up is really what we're saying there. It's just where it's food for thought. And Mark Stewart, same thing. Mark Stewart's on a, you know, pretty friendly cap hit there of $1.7 million a year.
You can say that. Yeah.
For a guy like Mark Stewart, the way he's played this year, he's worth that money.
I'll say that, but also say that, and I like Mark Stewart. Believe me, it's not.
But if you can get a good offer for him, you take it.
I mean, life, like a Boston.
Yeah,
like they survive.
And I want to say too, because this is just discussion. We're not suggesting anything. I do think you're only going to see one of these defensemen moved. That's my personal opinion.
I think both Oduya and Hainsey go.
I say one.
I think they should both go.
And I'm not sure which one, by the way.
Well, Oduya has to go.
Oduya has to go.
He's a UFA. Why? What are you holding on to him for?
He's got to go.
You have to go. He has to go. Hainsey can go. I mean, Hainsey's a little bit more difficult with the cap hit
If you get Byfuglien back,
yeah.
I mean, you can start loading up time on these defensemen. I mean, these defensemen aren't playing 27, 28 minutes. Usually they're putting them around 22, 23.
Yeah, they're not riding their horses.
You can ride the horses harder and then not play you can not play. You know, in that run when they made the run and they had Calder and Flood there? Yep. They're really protecting them. You can do that.
And that's most likely what you're going to see. You're going to see Oduya moved and then, you know, argue whether Hainsey's going to be moved as well. And then Flood comes in the lineup. Then you have Calder or Postma and you develop and you give him a little time, knowing that he's going to play possibly the whole year next year.
You should plug our trade deadline coverage, Drew.
That's right. Well, we're going to be on a part of the team coverage here on TSN 1290, Monday, February 27th. Troy and Jay started off bright and early in the morning. They go right up until 12 noon. We fill in from 12 noon to 4 o'clock. Then Hustler and Law is 4 o'clock till 6 o'clock, Monday, February 27th. That's also a Winnipeg Jets game day. Rick Ralph will be a significant part of that coverage as well. We'll have trade deadline covered in its entirety. And if it's anything like last season when there were no trades whatsoever and we were on for 5 hours... God help us all.
Are we going to bring Leah Hextall back? We had her on last year.
We traded her for future considerations.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we should get her back on.
We'll see about that.
I'm going to get her back on.
Let's go to... I don't think you have that power, I got to tell you.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure you
power.
Don't, in fact.
I have that power.
I'm pretty sure
I have Hextall power.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
And as he's corrupted absolutely. Let's go to break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290.
Bobby Holík. I'm getting excited. Bobby Holík. He's one of my favorites of all time.
Is there any New Jersey Devil who you wouldn't call your favorite of all time?
Valery Silipukin?
Well, you know...
I believe he lives in Nancy's basement
I'd have to say that Brodeur and Stevens are my favorites of all time. But, I mean, those were classic teams. Holík won those two cups in 95 and 2000. So many great characters. You had the Sergei Brelins, the Jay Pandolfos.
Wouldn't those classic teams set back offensive hockey by about a decade?
Some people say that, but I still really like the team. I enjoyed watching some of those defensive battles. But yeah, I mean they definitely did bring in Jacques Lemaire specifically did bring in the defensive system. Even though Larry Robinson coached them in 2000, and Burns in 2003. But Bobby Holík was one of the greatest Czech players ever for sure.
Yeah, for sure, I agree with that.
You can follow us on Twitter @IllegalCurve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. And our website is www.illegalcurve.com. In case you missed any of this program, it will be available for download on iTunes. Search for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Subscribe and get it sent to your iPod each and every week. Let's continue talking about the Winnipeg Jets and the potential for trades at the trade deadline. The Jets have 4 players who are unrestricted free agents following this season. Let's go. We'll start with the one who's making the most money this year. That's Jim Slater.
Yep. $1 million.
$1 million. Former first-round pick of the Atlanta Thrashers. Yep. 26th, 27th overall?
Yep, he was a late rounder in the first. Yep.
He was late in the first round. I would argue he's sort of seen a bit of a career renaissance this year.
Yeah.
And he played bad last year, had concussion issues, and now he's been able to stay healthy and has performed
I think pretty well. And I think Jim Slater is a guy who, you know, is a really good fourth line center and has proved this year that he can play the third line role and against the toughest competition. I mean, a really good team. I don't know where he slots in. Where's a 3-4, maybe three with really good wingers, or four with, you know, with wingers like this year where he's got to carry them a bit more. But I think he's a guy that if he's asking for a reasonable salary and he's good on faceoffs, asking for a reasonable salary, I think you re-sign him if you can.
Yeah, and Jim Slater has been with the Thrashers now. I think this is, well, you know, Jets Thrashers organization, I believe this is his fifth year. And he's played a lot. He's been one of the guys that has been on the team for quite a while. And, you know, you factor in he's got the best faceoff percentage.
It's the seventh year.
So, seventh year.
Which makes sense because that's the only way he could be an unrestricted free agent is it's seven years of service.
You've got to be 7 years. So, so Slater's been with the Thrashers Jets organization for 7 years. And this year he's got the best faceoff percentage on the team. Mm-hmm. He goes out there with Tanner Glass, another guy that we're going to throw out there. Yep. And obviously the line that's... They've been a staple of that third line, and he's always been out there with Glass for, on the second unit, and with Chris Thorburn to form the GST line, which I love. I think both of these guys, you re-sign for sure. And
well, let's talk about Tanner Glass then. I mean,
I think Slater is the better player on the line.
Yeah. Well, I think yeah, I would agree with that.
I think I like Tanner Glass. He works hard. He's a pretty good skater. You know, he can PK. He can, but he's only got four goals. And to be frank, Drew. Left wingers who can get four goals and play a little PK, those are available in free agency. That's why Tanner Glass was available. I like the player, but if you can get some value for him, maybe you can get value for him and sign him back in the offseason.
Do you think he's got value on a trade market?
A little bit.
A sixth, seventh, or higher
like,
than that?
We're talking a 4 or 5, probably.
You think he's worth a 4 or 5?
Yeah, to a team, probably a 4 or 5. I mean, a 5, guys, 5.
I know, is a fringe prospect.
Like, 6 and 7 are essentially useless, so a 5... Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit more than nothing, and that's 84.
The numbers say that a sixth or a seventh round pick is the difference between that and an unrestricted free agent signing is almost negligible.
Right. Yeah, I've done articles like that before. There's been some more comprehensive ones done, but they're pretty useless.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a crapshoot at that point. That's right. Sometimes you hit gold, and sometimes it's
But if you're the team, if you're the Jets, and you can get a draft pick and you can package two of those to move up in the draft a bit, it still has value. So at Tanner Glass, I would be more apt. The problem with the guy like Slater is you trade him, I think a team likes him and signs him. And I do, and I worry about that. With Glass, not so much.
Well, with Slater, you know, you can... Glass is all about grit and effort and hard work and that sort of thing. Slater has a skill set you can identify and point to.
That's right.
And it doesn't come around every day, and that's his skill in the face-off.
And the face-off. And the face-off, too. But the face-off factor is they don't grow in trees, and you're not great at face-offs. I mean, little's improved, but you're not... As a team, you're below 50%. So that it needs to be taken into account.
Well, Richie, you know if any one of those three guys are not on the Jets next year... As the co-creator of the GST line with Jay Richardson, I'll be extremely disappointed. But I think you know that those guys will get a very hard look at re-signing, as they've really been glue guys for the dressing room and have been I think the hardest working line on the team the whole year.
Kyle Wellwood, unrestricted free agent, signed late in August, makes $700,000.
Kyle Wellwood's improved his value by playing well. He's been given opportunity and he's played well. I mean, I that's a no-brainer to me. You deal him.
Yeah. It drives me crazy. I know I pick on the guy, and I really don't mean to, but I watch him play, and it just drives me insane. I can't understand it.
You know, I think he's been given opportunity at the expense of younger players, but I think he's played well in the opportunity that he's had. For the most part, he has droughts, but I mean, lots of players do. But if you can get rid of him and get a third rounder back.
Could you get a third rounder for Kyle Wellwood, a guy who seemingly is available every single trade deadline?
I think that, you know, he's played on the fourth lines of San Jose and Vancouver.
Now,
he was available very late into the offseason. But if you're a team, a contending team, and you can throw him on your fourth line, again, use him in matchups and stuff like that.
What about St. Louis?
Maybe. Well, what sort of matchup?
St. Louis tried to sign him when San Jose claimed him when he came back from the KHL. Maybe.
There you go.
What sort of matchup does he match? Who does he match up against?
If you put up him against the fourth line of other teams, he'll take offensive advantage.
Yep.
And especially against lower pairing defensemen.
So it has to be
on a really good team. You're going to put him. Right. You're going to play him against weak
because he's got very good offensive skill set, but you can't put him in a defensive situation.
Kyle Wellwood has done an awesome job, and for the value, you have to say that was a good signing for $700,000 a year.
He's
third on the team in scoring. We've talked about this again and again, but as a tradable asset. He might be the most tradable forward they have.
We talked about the fact that he takes away opportunity from a guy like Burmistrov or some of your younger guys, but we certainly
didn't. That's no L, not him.
Yeah, that's
right. His inability to play any type of physical style of hockey hurts him on a line that needs it.
It's not even his inability to play it. It's his lack of – he doesn't even pretend to even give an effort to play it. That's what drives me the most crazy.
He needs to play with skilled players. That's true. And as you make a good point there because he couldn't –
he's a power play specialist.
When he played on the GST line and stuff, he just couldn't – he won't even go into the corner, so he can't play with those guys in the cycle.
Exactly.
And that's what – a line like the GST, that's what they're out there to do. Check – And pop in a goal if you can, but make sure that you shut down whoever you're playing against.
And
Kyle Wellwood
so
can't play any role like that, and that's why you've seen him get one-year contracts, and then teams don't re-sign him because they know you know what you're getting. And that's not taking anything away from him as a person, but as far as his skill set goes, he's strictly an offensive hands guy.
Well, and that's what's most interesting about the GST line this year is they are definitely some of the they're more than just the sum of the parts.
They are. Drew, but I mean, ideally, the team would want them to be the fourth line, not the third line.
Exactly. Yep. If they re-signed all three and they became the fourth line for the Winnipeg Jets, the team would be very happy. Yeah. The final guy that's an unrestricted free agent this year, he is the anchor on the power play, Tim Stapleton.
I mean, he's already on waivers this year.
Right at the beginning of the year.
So, right. I mean, I don't think you're going to get, that's more of a 6-7, if anything. I mean, he costs you nothing, $525,000 in NHL terms.
Yeah,
I don't think any team's going to try for him, so you probably just keep him.
Yeah, he'll be kept, in my opinion, but just because also...
he plays 13th forward, he's happy with
Claude Noel loves him.
Yeah, and he's 13th forward, he's happy with it.
Putting him on the point when Enstrom was injured, Richie, I know that Noel loves his work ethic, and he's a huge fan of his.
Yeah, and he's flexible, and he's versatile, and he's not going to be... he's not going to complain about the role that he's been handed.
No. He's got a great Twitter name, too. What is that? Bluce Lee?
Bluce underscore Ree.
Yeah, great Twitter name. Like, he's got a picture of him and Anthony Stewart.
Remus can tweet out Tim Stapleton's Twitter in case you don't follow it. Let's go to break. When we come back on the other side, I want to talk about some of the other Jets forwards who are approaching UFA or RFA status. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290. 2 hours down, 1 hour to go. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Illegal Curve. And, of course, our website is www.illegalcurve.com. This segment is brought to you by our good friends at the Cheer Bar and Grill, located in the heart of Osborne Village at Stradbrook and Osborne. Catch all of the home team's games on their numerous HD big screens. Be sure to join Illegal Curve Hockey for their weekly appearances at the Cheer Bar and Grill. We will be there Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and we're not yet sure if they're going to be open on Sunday morning, Sunday, for the early start time next Sunday.
And who's going to be at that game?
Ezzy, you're going to be in Montreal next Sunday at the Jets-Habs
game. That's right, yeah.
I think we just surprised you. Did you just realize that?
Well, you look so surprised.
So actually, which means he won't be here next Saturday.
That's right.
It's going to be...
Who's coming in?
We're calling in Remus from the bullpen.
Bringing
in the righty.
Yeah,
bringing in the righty already.
Yeah, I'll be in Montreal. I'll make sure to do you guys proud and stick to Diet Pepsi at the Habs game. It's a 1 o'clock game.
But hang on, are you flying home during the Super Bowl?
Yeah, yes.
What airline are you flying?
I don't know. Air Canada, WestJet. What are the?
There's only two options. I think WestJet has live television, so you can watch.
Oh, okay, yeah, it's WestJet.
So you can watch the Super Bowl. Air Canada doesn't have live TV.
But shows and such, just
really.
Yeah,
I'll watch the Super Bowl on the plane.
If you're flying WestJet or if you
have...
Have you actually booked a flight? We'll start small.
Yeah, I booked a flight last week.
Okay.
It's going to be exciting. I've never seen the Jets in Montreal.
No kidding. No kidding, eh? How about that? Never would have guessed that. Let's continue on talking about the Winnipeg Jets and their prospects for trading at the upcoming trade deadline. Just one day short of a month away from today. Monday, February 27th, extensive coverage here on TSN 1290.
Yep.
You, Richard, you mentioned Antti Miettinen immediately.
Yeah.
There's an interesting, for anybody who would think that maybe he could be on the trade market, there's a caveat attached to that.
Yeah, I mean, if you remember last year, Evgeny Nabokov was placed on waivers, Detroit signed him and they had to put him through waivers. So you saw Wellwood and guys like that got claimed before. But what happens is, Bob McKenzie wrote an article about it last year, and let me just read from the article. He says... If the team that claims him, being Nabokov, which is Islanders, is awarded Nabokov, and they decide to subsequently trade or assign the player, they must A, put Nabokov back on waivers where any team, including the Detroit Red Wings, could then claim him. So, Miettinen, I have to look into whether or not the 2-year deal applies. I'm assuming it's the same rule for that year. If Miettinen
because the Jets claimed him off waivers.
After Tampa signed him.
Right.
They want to trade him. They'd have to put him back through waivers. He'd likely be claimed by Tampa, if not anybody else.
Yeah, because Tampa obviously liked him from the get-go.
There goes that option. So just to qualify that.
So yeah.
I will look into and tweet later whether or not a two-year deal, because Nabokov signed... Nabokov's on the books this year, so it'd be the same effects.
Exactly. Yeah. So you can still look into that anyways. But, or people can follow you on Twitter regardless, at ICRichieP.
Oh, thanks. Shameless plug.
Ezzy is at ICEzzyG, and I'm at ICDrew.
And guys, according to CapGeek, Yetinen's also got a no-trade, no-movement clause there.
Right.
Oh, excellent. Good point
He does, and so let me read point two then. Get Mietnin's permission, Nabokov's permission, to put him on waivers and or trade him, as he has a good standing member of the NHL and has a no-movement clause in his contract. So it's the exact same fact situation.
I think Mietnin, you know, we're talking about some of the forwards and which ones are tradable. Mietnin...
Well, so it's not even really relevant.
It's also relevant to point out Ron Hainsey also has a partial no-trade clause. Yep. There's a list of 15 teams that he can submit. I assume
15?
I assume, well,
it's not a very small list.
Yeah. No, it's half the league. I assume the team has already requested that list from him.
You know, it's interesting. We were talking about negotiations and all that, and these no trade, no movement clauses. I always laugh when I hear these 15 teams, like, or 5 teams. Like, I mean, they sit down and
hold on, Ezzy. Ron Hainsey, they gave him $4.5 million a year cap it, and that guy was able to demand a no trade clause.
It's unreal. That agent, I don't know who's his agent.
Well, no, but it's a good example of why Don Waddell is no longer a general manager in the NHL.
Ezzy, let you continue your point about the no trade, the 15 team no trade.
Well, it's just funny when I'm an agent sitting down with Ron Hainsey, and you go, oh, you know what? These are the only teams. I'm not going to Edmonton. I'm only going to St. Louis, L.A., and then you just list off 15 teams. It must be kind of funny how, I mean, as far as the GM's concerned, I mean, they don't really care. They want to sign their player. I mean, it's almost like demanding for your own seat on the airplane, but a lot of players have them nowadays.
Yeah, most players do, and modified ones at the very least. I mean, you don't see very many guys get complete no-trade clauses, but... modifieds tends to be very popular. Let's talk about Nick Antropov. He's under contract this year, $4 million, a little more than $4 million. Under contract next year for also $4 million.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Then he's an unrestricted free agent. This is a guy who has played he's been the Jets' second line center for the most part of this year.
Yep.
He's been reasonable.
He started off a lot better than he has. He struggled big time. Richie mentioned this either a week ago or 2 weeks ago. He thought he might have some type of minor lingering injury, which is quite possible. He's had one or two goals in the last 20 games. He's struggled big time. And you know what? Nikolai Antropov, you know, is the type of guy that he's useful and the good hands guy. And for a big man, you know, even though his skating style for his entire career has been criticized, he's the type of guy that, you know, on the fly making moves, good vision on the ice. But
is there a market for Nick Antropov?
I think so. I mean, first of all, modified no-trade clause as well. We should mention that. But for a year contract after this, if you're looking for a top six guy, he can play top six. He can play center. Likely you want to put him on the right wing. There's certainly a market, I think, for Nikolai Antropov, especially if you have a little more cap room. I know he's not, he doesn't fix... You look at a team like LA, I mean, they want a faster player to complement their top six, but they could use a top six forward.
Yep. There's teams that could be a third liner.
Yeah, also true. It's expensive for a third liner, but that's true. As depending on how your team's structured and how the cap structured on that specific team. But to me, there's a market for a guy who can put points on the board pretty quickly if he were to, if he's not playing injured, because they just it's just an inconsistency you've seen all year. A little bit it seems like there's something there. I mean, he doesn't look as good as he did for the first 20 games, 15, 20 games.
Sure.
There are teams up there who I think could use a guy like that, especially teams that maybe have injuries and have cap space, and they can find somewhere for him in the summer, or they can make room for him. $4 million, it's not cheap, but I mean, it's not exorbitant.
Yeah.
And the guy can create offense. I think there is a market for him, and I think if the Jets can get something for him.
Could you get a second round pick for him?
Oh, I think so.
Yep.
And if somebody knocks on your door and says, we'll give you a second round pick, do you take it?
That's a really good question. It depends on your strategy in terms of, are you protecting your younger players with a veteran guy up there, or are you just going to kind of throw them to the wolves? It depends on your strategy in that respect. I suspect that if they get that kind of offer for him, I mean, he's been a staple in the top six. He hasn't been out of the top six all year. That's an interesting question, Drew. And I'd have to give it more consideration.
Yep. And having said all that, I also don't think he'll be moved because they'll have him under contract next year.
Well, if you're Kevin Cheveldayoff, and there's probably not another player on this roster, certainly not this year, and you never know what they're going to do in the free agency. But there's certainly not another player who can really fill that. That's a really a top six guy, waiting to in there.
I would likely, I'm thinking about it more, I would likely trade Antropov. I would trade him, really, and if he gets second round, I probably would trade him. Just because you can throw a guy like Fair up there for this year, and if provided you have a healthy team and you have Bremestrov and Little up the middle and Ladd and Kane.
But to replace Antropov for next season.
Yeah, I mean, you have UFA stat. You can go into the UFA market.
There's nobody waiting in the wings to replace Antropov.
That's right. You have to sign somebody next year to take that spot for a year.
For a year before.
Yeah, I would make that trade.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about Eric Fair. And not in the... he's obviously got no trade value.
Nobody's taking him, yeah.
But I want to talk about, he's an RFA this offseason.
Do you need
to qualify him?
No.
Do the Jets qualify him? They have to qualify him at $2.2 million.
You don't qualify him. You don't.
So you Anthony Stewart him? Does he become an unrestricted free agent? Or do you try and sign him for less than $2.2 million?
I mean, depends on what he's asking for.
Well, realistically,
he can't be asking for much right now.
Eric Fair
was on his shoulders.
We talked about this before. They took a risk, and we said it was low reward at the time, and it hasn't worked out.
It was high reward. Low risk, high reward.
Pardon me, sorry. That's what happens when I'm not focusing.
Yeah.
Low risk, high reward. Obviously, we all know the story about the Manitoba kid from Winkler coming back, and it hasn't worked out, and he hasn't recovered from his shoulder injuries. He just hasn't. I think only has a couple of points, 2 or 3 points in 25 games. We'll have to look it up, but he's struggled, and he's a guy that most likely won't come back unless he takes a pay cut.
Let me ask you this quickly. We have right before Bobby Hulik's coming on. Just to pose a question, it's somewhat rhetorical. I'm going to provide a little bit of an argument here. Is Brian Little a top two line center?
It's tough to say after this year, Richie. I mean, on this team,
he's not a first liner. We know. I mean, he's playing first liner. He's not a first liner. I mean, the question is he a second liner? And then, okay, is he a second liner? Maybe. But is he a second liner on a good team? Look at the top teams in the National Hockey League right now. You have a team like Philly. Who are their centers? Giroux and Briere. L.A., Kopitar and Richards. You're dealing with the center spots. Pittsburgh, obviously, is loaded up the middle. Malkin, Staal, Crosby.
Yep.
Like, you look at all the top. Boston has Bergeron and Krejci. I mean, you look at the top line, and you wonder.
Yeah, your answer is probably no, but you're looking.
Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, the answer is probably no, but I mean, is he.
Detroit.
Does
he make the top two in any of those lines?
No, he doesn't. But I mean, those are the cream of the crop, the highest echelon in the league.
Well, the question is, I mean, you have nothing forcing your hand right now, but the question is.
Yeah.
When taken into consideration, moves, and could he be in a pack? Why not?
Well, I mean, if you're starting to look at dealing him, then you're really bottoming out completely. You're committing to a complete rebuild on this organization.
I mean, the question is upside, though. I mean, he's not going to cost you much. You don't ever force it because he's getting $2.3 million a year.
Yeah, he's getting paid.
He can play those roles.
Yep.
Yeah. But my question is, I mean,
on a good team, what is he? On the best teams in the league, he's not a top two center.
Is he done developing?
Thornton,
Couture, the top teams in this league are unbelievably strong up the middle.
Is he done developing?
No.
Is he going to develop?
I don't think he's done developing.
Is his peak a top two forward on a good team?
No, on a really good team, no, I don't think so.
So you're top two center, you mean? Yeah, top two center. Pardon me. So you're best case scenario, if the Jets want to be a Stanley Cup contender in the next 5 years, you're saying he would be the third line center on the team?
He's still young at 23 years old, Richie, but this year has not gone the way he wanted to.
What makes you say that, Eddie?
He's fine, Drew, but I mean, everybody looks at things in a vacuum here. You know, this team, the GST line has been a really good third line. People will say that.
I really like that
line. Like, they play well, but you think about it, and what do they have total? 10 goals out of 3 players in about 140 games? 130 games? I mean, that's compared to other teams' third line, that's not good.
It's inevitable. It's human nature that people wear rose-colored glasses. Right. I mean, and they think
understood what that meant.
Well, that they think that things are far more beautiful than they actually are.
Okay.
It's like right now you're looking at Drew with rose-colored glasses.
Oh, I am this beautiful. That's the difference. But you're probably right. He probably is a third-line center.
I don't know if he is or not, but is he one of those tweeners? On a good team, not a bad team,
We talked about Richie and I were talking about this.
But if you deal him,
ago.
You're committed to a complete
rebuild.
Richie, Brian Little, let's be honest. Brian Little, good player for the Barry Colts, good junior.
Yeah.
He scored 31 goals in his second year. But who was he playing with?
Kovalchuk needed a really high shooting
percentage. He was playing with Ilya Kovalchuk.
And a lot of pucks went in that didn't go in.
I mean, he's being held to that 31 goal season. And I'm just saying, I mean, I think his ceiling is a 30-goal guy. I think people were expecting him to duplicate that.
You think he can duplicate 30 goals again?
His ceiling is 30. I don't think he's gonna...
I'm saying ceiling. I think the best he can do is probably be a 30-goal guy. And people are still holding him to that. And that was maybe a little bit unfair because he came into the league young as well, played with Kovalchuk, and got a lot of goals.
And I just think it's a question worth posing. That's all.
That's fair enough. Any question is worth posing. Let's go to break. When we come back on the other side, Bobby Holik is going to join us. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290. Welcome back to the program. Let's hear from Bobby Holik momentarily.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
And let's welcome to the program a multiple Stanley Cup winner, a multiple-time All-Star. You know him probably primarily as a New Jersey Devil. Bobby Holik, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Oh, my pleasure. Every chance I have to talk in hockey, I'll take it.
Well, we might hold you to that, Bobby. Yeah. You might become a weekly guest on this show.
Hey, no problem.
Can you come on next week, Bobby?
Yeah, sure. There's always something to talk about in hockey. It's a great game.
Absolutely. Bobby, we spent a lot of our program so far today sort of discussing, you know, free agency and trade deadlines. And we spent some time talking about the salary arbitration process. Can you take us through what that's like as a player the first time you have to go to arbitration?
Well, it's actually going into this arbitration. It's not the best of feelings because I went through it in 2001 with New Jersey Devils, and I was looking for a long-term deal because I was at that time I was there for 9 years, and I really wanted to continue playing my career there, and we just couldn't come up to agreement or we really didn't talk about long-term deals. So the logical choice for me to get a one-year award, that's the rules were at the time for a player of my age and my position in arbitration. And going into it, I was not thrilled about it. But being through the process, learning the business of hockey, it was another learning experience. Once you get traded, you realize that hockey is just not a game, not only a game, it's business. Then that happened to me in 1992, salary arbitration in 2001. So all those things are good for players when they're done. Going into it and through it is not a pleasant feeling because most of the time you want to stay put. You want to get a long-term deal. That's most players' wishes, but it doesn't always work out that way. So sitting actually in the room and being, you know, talked about not necessarily in a good way by your team that you're currently playing for, it's a quite experience. I can see how few guys get shaken up by it, but at the end of it, for me, it was as I said earlier, a great learning experience. And eventually, I left New Jersey for a big time contract in New York, but that's part of the game.
Bobby, you know, you talk about that arbitration case that you had. If I recall correctly, your agent at the time was Mike Gillis.
Yes.
How was are you surprised that he ended up turning into a GM and obviously quite a successful GM?
No, I don't know if this is confidential, but throughout he was probably the best agent in the game in early 2000. He worked his way up from starting with very few players and the entry level players and middle of the road players into being an agent for some superstars. I don't consider myself superstar, but Pavel Bure and others, Marcus Naslund, and he really accomplished what he could possibly accomplish as an agent. And throughout his years as a player agent, he got offers to become an executive or manager from different teams. I don't know the specifics, but it was mentioned in the conversation. And until he was not ready for it until I think it was 2008 when he decided to take the job in Vancouver. And again, he was not going to take any job because he needed to have a specific situation. And I think Vancouver, the ownership group, offered that to him. And, without winning the Stanley Cup last year, he's still done a great job there so far.
Bobby, recently on your blog website, Holy Cone Hockey, you wrote about Patrick Elias, who played his 1,000th career game, and I believe he was in Winnipeg the day after and played his 1,001 game. You played with him earlier on his career. I remember watching the Devils, and you played with Randy McKay and Patrick Elias, and then you won the Stanley Cups there with the Devils. You know, in my opinion, he's always been an underrated player. In my opinion, he should be a Hall of Famer, with his talent. And I've always thought, year after year, he's been one of the most consistent players on the New Jersey Devils. Can you just talk about your relationship with him and how good he's been for that team for so long?
Well, the relationship, we are, friends first and foremost, teammates second, because we grew up not together, because he's a few years younger, but we grew up in very similar towns in a town of in a part of Czech Republic that it's fairly rugged and kind of hilly. It's a special place. I really loved growing up there, and so did he. So we have same values and the same work ethic, and those were our strength. And so we could relate to each other. I was almost a veteran at the time when they, you know, when he showed up on the scene in New Jersey. He played a little bit in the minors, then he was called up, and then he played that almost a full year with me and Randy, as you mentioned. So there was a lot of things we could relate to each other. And also, I believe he looked up to me because I was a few years older, and we had about 6-7 years we played together in New Jersey. It was a great time. We won the cup. We went to the finals. He went on to win his second cup after I left, but we stayed in touch. And he's just a great player, great person. And I don't know about Hall of Fame because the injuries and illnesses have slowed him down over the year. Not right. Slowed him down, but if he had played more games, if he wasn't hurt or he didn't miss as many games, maybe his numbers would have been better. But at the same time, he sacrificed playing on a great team for many years for better individual numbers. And that's, you know, he still has two cups. He's already has two cups and a trip to the finals and a few All-Stars appearances. So he's done tremendously, and I agree. He's underrated throughout the National Hockey League, even at today. At age of, 35 or 36, he's still underrated because he's still a heck of a hockey player.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're joined by Bobby Holik. You can find Bobby's work at holikonhockey.com, and you can also follow him on Twitter, at holikonhockey. Bobby, you played 18 seasons in the NHL, so you've been through the wars, as it were, as it relates to hockey. You know, what's the biggest change you noticed from, say, when you broke into the league versus to when you retired in 2009?
Well, it was the speed of the game because it changed. The dramatic change came immediately after the lockout of 2004-2005, when they not necessarily brought new rules, but they start actually enforcing the rules that they were in the rule book already. And because two reasons why I see the game is becoming almost too fast for its own good, and it's the new enforcement of the rules. And the salary cap, where a lot of the veterans who played with their game, their strength was game sense and skills and just being it all around good hockey players, were forced out because of the salary, not demands, but they figure out we'll take a rookie or a second year player at X amount of dollars than a veteran for twice as much. So there was a major turnover of players, the type of players that the league has because of the rules and because of the salary cap. So that caused the game become fast or faster. That's the biggest difference. Another subtle difference that probably not many people notice from the outside is the culture of the game. And because of the economics, it's more of the economics and the very frequent injuries to just about any player, even the star players. It made it more of about self-preservation, survivor of the players, than anything else. And that's why you see sometimes players make decisions as far as contracts or places where they want to play based on what's going to give them better chance to have a long, successful career. We didn't think about it that way because the injuries in our era weren't as frequent. I don't want to say it's out of control, but, all these stars or just about any player, all these injuries that we've seen in the last couple of years, it's definitely not good for the game, but it's part of the game now. So when you analyze the team, how good they're going to be or what their potential is, you have to also think about potentially injuries because they are part of the game more than they have ever been before.
Well, no, Bobby, you bring up the topic of injuries to star players and concussions and headshots, and obviously Alexander Ovechkin has decided to not go to the All-Star game, because of his 3-game suspension, and then you have Sidney Crosby, who is obviously, ratcheted up the concussion debate. What kind of job do you think the NHL and the NHLPA have done with dealing with concussions and headshots? Obviously, Rule 48 was brought in last year, but what is the one thing that the NHL and the NHLPA have to decide, this is what we have to this is what we have to address to get rid of all this nonsense, because, you know, in my opinion, concussions are, you know, it's gotten out of control, like you said.
See, I'm not a guy who loves rules, who loves mandates. I thrive in an environment when they allow you to do what you're best at. And I had an article in Hockey News a couple weeks ago. It came out, and I think my solution, I don't know what NHL is going to do. I don't know what NHLPA is going to do. But I would enlarge the ice surface, because in the last 20, 30 years, the players have become bigger, faster, more skilled, yet we're still playing on the same size of the ice. I'm not talking about Olympic size. I'm talking about maybe 4 feet, maybe 5 at the most. Just give them extra 2 feet in the corner here and there, or on the sides, away from the face-off circles, where players with talent, with game sense and speed will be able to display that. I don't like rules where you limit other people's talents and skills that they've worked on all their life.
For instance, I was talking with Marty Broder when he was here, and I asked him about the trapezoid rule, and he said that he wants it back, not only because, like you said, in his entire career he's developed, he's become arguably the best puck-handling goalie of all time, but also because of the player safety.
That's exactly right. I didn't like it from day one. I might not like the rules, but I have to think about, is the rule taking away or limiting somebody's skills that they worked hard? And Marty was a perfect example. He became arguably the best puck handling goalie of all time.
Yep.
And they implemented the rule strictly to limit his opportunities to thrive. And I never liked it. So I think that needs to be taken out. And I think if you make the ring a little bigger, players like, as great as they have been, Datsyuk or Zetterberg or Malkin, they're going to thrive even more. And to me, when I played, I wanted to play against the best players in the world, and I want to be matched up against them. I, as a fan or analyst, I want to see the best of the best to display their greatness. And sometimes the game is so tight, so limited by space, because the players are so big and so fast, that you don't see it enough. I want to see greatness, and I think enlarging the ice surface, you get two things. You get more space for players to get out of the way of these, you know, some of the players who are strictly out there just to make a physical contact. And second, they're going to have more room and time to display their greatness.
That's a great point, Bobby. You know, just we'll leave you on this one, on this note. You played with Atlanta from 2005 through 2008, so you're familiar with some of the players. And by my count, in your last year in Atlanta, the players remaining on Winnipeg's roster: Tobias Enstrom, Chris Thorburn, Brian Little, Jim Slater, and Andre Pavlich for a brief period of time. Can you maybe talk about your experience in Atlanta, and maybe actually specifically too, can you talk about a player like Enstrom and how underrated he is?
I think he is I don't want to say MVP. I've watched a few of the Jets games of late, and you see the difference, the way the power play or the breakouts go when Tobias is not in the lineup. Mm-hmm. I know Dustin Byfuglien is a great player, and there's Andrew Ladd, who's a great leader, but when you don't have the type of player that Tobias Enstrom is for today's game, when he moves the puck, he joins the rush, he can create a lot of things offensively. And when he was hurt, the Jets definitely, that was a void on their blue line, and he's probably their most important player, I should say. And I played a year with him, and he was he's a great kid, and he works hard and tremendous talent.
Bobby Holik, holikonhockey.com. Thanks very much for joining us this afternoon on the Legal Curve Hockey Show. That was absolutely terrific.
Okay, thank you. Anytime, guys.
Thanks, Bobby. Take care.
Bobby Holik,
multiple Stanley Cup winner, multiple-time All-Star. You can find his work at holikonhockey.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at holikonhockey. Let's go to break. When we come back, we'll head back to Ottawa. Gary Lawless, the big man, is going to join us.
The big man.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. In case you missed any of that interview with Bobby Holik, you can get it on iTunes. Search for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, subscribe, and get it sent to your iPod each and every week.
Let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
We go back to the nation's capital. Gary, I must tell you, we were actually having a debate whether or not you were worthwhile of getting the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline intro. And Ezzy said no, but I said yes.
That's not true at all.
Gary, are you there?
Well, I am. I'm just listening to this ridiculous banter that
Gary, interchange what Drew just said. I said that we should
absolutely no belief at all that Ezra would suggest I am not worthy.
Exactly, because what I was going to say is we just had one of my heroes, Bobby Holik, on, and then we're going to my next hero, Gary Lawless. I wanted the theme music. I wanted your theme music. I wanted to play the King Jerry Lawler's theme music for you, but Drew's controlling. You know, Drew's a control freak, Gary, but it is great to have you back on.
I'm thrilled to be here.
So tell us what's happening in Ottawa. Is the city all on a titter because of the All-Star game? Is it exciting? Is it palpable? Is it palpable in the city? What's going on
in
Ottawa?
Did you just say titter?
Yeah.
It's a Twitter, I believe, is the word. But it's when we walked out of the Board of Governors meetings at the Chateau Laurier this morning, there was quite a crowd out front looking for autographs, and the market has been... the bars and clubs have been jammed all weekend with people trying to get some player sightings in, and lots of media here. And this morning was actually quite revelatory. Gary Bettman talked about the state of things in Phoenix. He talked a little bit about the fact that there isn't a Winnipeg Jet here. Don Fehr gave some availability with media. So lots of things going on today. And then, of course, we're just about to board the bus for the skills competition.
Prepare for about a four-hour bus ride, in case you have, although I'm sure you're familiar with the arena.
Yeah, I've been here a few times.
Gary, you just mentioned Phoenix. If people haven't heard, what did Gary Bettman say, and why are we to believe him this time?
Well, you're free to believe who you want to believe whenever you want, Richard. I'm not going to try and persuade you into that. What did he say today? He said there's a third party kicking the tires, and he said that, they don't have any plans to move a franchise anytime soon. However, it is getting close to that point where they're going to have to start to look at other alternatives, and that then there was tons of French Canadian media there. They wanted to talk all about Quebec. Mm-hmm. It seems, from my vantage point, however, that Quebec has been nudged out of first place in the race,
really?
And that Seattle is actually if there is going to be relocation, Seattle seems to have the lead in that race. But there, Kansas City remains in the picture, and Las Vegas remains in the picture as well.
Who's the potential ownership in Seattle, though, Gary?
Well, I think this is where it's real interesting. I think what's going on there is the NHL and the NBA are working together.
Okay.
And they want to find someone that will own an NBA franchise and an NHL franchise and build a new building.
Get the Sonics back.
Well, it won't be Oklahoma that would move back there, but it would be, New Orleans is a number of
places that they could move.
Yeah.
I think that they own New Orleans, the NHL, so I think they, or the NBA, think they probably want to try and solve both their problems with one person.
Gary, I want to get back to the All-Star game, because you're in Ottawa for the 2012 All-Star game. The skills competition goes later today, and I got to ask you a question, because a lot of fans, were talking about this. Dustin Byfuglien was unable to go, and then Evander Kane had the concussion, and there wasn't a Jets representative, and I don't want to put you on the spot and ask you, whether you think there should be a Jet there, but was there an offer by the NHL to try to get a Winnipeg Jet there? Because we heard that maybe some guys on the Jets were offered a spot, and then because of travel plans, they turned it down. Can you maybe give us a little bit of insight into that?
Well, I have to talk to the Jets first, but Brandon Shanahan told me today, he searched me out because he wanted to address some of the things that I've written about the All-Star game, in particular, if there wasn't a Jet here. And he said, we picked a Jet. We picked Dustin Byfuglien.
Right.
He got hurt. And then we wanted to pick Evander Kane. He came down with a concussion. And then we wanted to talk to Toby Enstrom. But and I think that sort of they put out a feeler about Toby and were told that, he's got travel plans.
Okay.
So, I think that the NHL tried to do what they could to get a player here. I asked Gary Bettman about it, and he said, maybe we should make it mandatory that every team has a player here. He goes, but then what you find is that some really good players from other teams get excluded. So, maybe a team has four guys that should be all at the All-Star game by numbers, but because you got to have a guy from, Columbus and the Islanders, or whoever you want, or the Jets, or whoever you want to pick, that really doesn't have as good numbers, some of those other good players get excluded. So, you know, there's no real clear-cut answer. I'll tell you this. The NHL needs to figure out what they're going to do and then do it because it's a mishmash. No one really seems to know how it works and how it's done. And, there's not a lot of transparency. And this is an event that where they ask the fans to participate to elect players. And now, because of the way it's worked out, they've excluded two fan bases.
Yeah, sure.
New Jersey and Winnipeg.
That's right.
Well, you know, you mentioned New Jersey, and New Jersey had a, you know, it was they were addressed during the Board of Governors meeting, and then in Bettman's post-game press conference or post Board of Governors meeting scrum or whatever about their ownership situation. And that sounds like there's some problems going on there. The NHL has fronted them some money. Is that correct?
Yeah, they're advancing money that sooner or later the New Jersey would be in line to get, but they've got cash flow issues right now, so they're instead of waiting until the money actually comes in and can be parceled out, they're giving it to them right now. So, I guess they're hoping that New Jersey will be able to catch up and not have to rely on that money when it actually should come in. So it's an interesting dynamic. You know, basically what we're looking at, the NHL owns one franchise and is now forwarding money to another, and you've got issues in Long Island.
Yeah.
And, it's frustrating, I think, for Canadian fans to see what's going on and when they know that there's a market. We just watched it happen in Winnipeg.
Well,
and Quebec City is every good a hockey market as Winnipeg.
But that's what I want to talk about. I mean, we've spoken about Quebec City before. I mean, they don't seem to realize that Winnipeg got their team back when they built the arena. I mean, Quebec City's arena is not ready right now.
That's the difference. They want Mark Chipman built his building without promise of an NHL franchise. Quebec City seems to want the promise of an NHL franchise, and then they'll build a building, and it doesn't work that way.
Why don't they flip their thinking then? I mean, I know you can't answer that necessarily, but
who knows?
I mean, it seems pretty logical there, doesn't it?
You know, we could get into a huge debate about Quebecois politics right now. And,
probably for the better, discretion's the better part of valor on that front.
Well, we've got a lot of listeners in St. Boniface, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Gary, you mentioned Donald Fair's book. I guess a bunch of these issues that we're mentioning have to do with the CBA and then the future CBA negotiations. What did Donald have to say?
Not much. We're still exploring. We're still, still gathering information. He wouldn't say when formal talks will start. He said that him and Gary Bettman have already met a number of times informally, and that will continue. So, it's hard to tell. Part of me thinks we're in for a long cold war here, and then, I think a lot of it depends on what the NHL wants. Let's look at what the NHL did last time. They rolled them back 24%, and to get to 50, and they got to 57%. And I think the numbers are, if they had the PA has done a with the revenue numbers the NHL has given them, if they had been under the old system, the players have lost $3.5 billion in the 7 years since this new system was put into effect. And they say that, let's say they go to 50. They're at 57% of hockey revenues go to player salary right now. And let's say the NHL comes out and says, we want to trim that number back to 50%. I think over a five-year deal, that would represent another $1 billion. So, the players have given. And the one thing that the owners haven't done is really implemented a proper revenue sharing plan. And the players, I think that irks them. I think they're like, you want us to be partners and to share in the revenue, but you don't want to share revenue with one another. And that's sort of what makes the cap kind of a weird thing, The cap could be a lot higher if the New York Rangers and the Toronto Maple Leafs put more money into revenue sharing. Then you'd have then you could have more the Winnipegs and some of the poorer markets of the NHL could then have more revenues to draw on in order to pay player salaries. So it's the players have some issues. I'm sure the owners have some issues. It's going to be very interesting to see if Donald Fear said, if they want to sit down and we want to work together to find something that works for everyone, this this should go smoothly. If they just want to, you know, throw down the gauntlet and say we want this, this, and this, we're going to have trouble.
Well, here's hoping that they somehow realize that they make this go smoothly. Gary, you're a world traveler off to Indianapolis tomorrow or Monday?
Well, this All-Star game here is here tomorrow, so I'm here until Monday morning, and then yes, I will. Hustler will already be there waiting for me when I arrive.
You trust him to get there on his own?
What's that?
You trust him to get there on his own?
You know, Drew, Hustler's. You like to take these shots at the man. He's never missed a plane, never missed a show, never missed anything. So, do I trust him? With all my soul.
Well, Gary, I'd like to step in as someone who also has never missed anything and is always on time. I'm willing to drive Hustler to the airport if he needs a ride. So I got him on BBM. So
I got to be honest, Ezra. I can tell you 100%, you're going to get a no because Hustler has made some travel arrangements already, which are a lot prettier than you.
Right, exactly. And then I won't be offended by that.
No. Good. Okay, boys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Gary.
Gary, have fun in Indy.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Gary. Let's go to break. When we come back, one final segment.
Love it. You got to have him on every single show.
Rapid fire.
Every single show at that time.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290.
North End Dan says, can we get Icy Ezzy, and which is one of the Illegal Curve guys, his own 30-minute weekly show. Can we, like me, Ray, and Dan?
Could we do that? Sure.
I don't think we have any pull there. I put Ezzy on at 2 in the morning. See if Ezzy wants to do that.
See if he's interested.
Can't pay you, Ezzy, but we can get you 30 minutes. Yeah. No, we don't have that kind of pull. On the lighter side, he says, kind of like the real cabbie for Winnipeg. I like the Legal Curve guys. They do great work.
Mm-hmm,
listen to their shows on Saturday. Yep, so I like to have fun
guys.
With the fella.
That was, of course, Rick Ralph and Ray Neufeld from a post-game show, Jets post-game show earlier this week. Now, Ezzy, have you accepted that 2 a.m. slot to do your show?
First off, I want to give a shout-out to Dan from the North End. Huge fan of the show. I love you. I love all the fan mail that I get. I get tons of it, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely want to do this. And
just address the fan mail to the river, and it gets to Ezzy.
I've actually talked to Hustler about doing it. He's in.
Yeah.
So
the Hustler and Ezzy show?
He actually came up with a name and theme music. He actually thought of a name, G's and Hustlers. Snoop Dogg. It's a Snoop Dogg. I'm the G, Drew.
Thank you.
And I know that, you know, Snoop Dogg, you were already in your 40s when Snoop Dogg came out. So... G's and Hustlers, and then Remus has also shown some interest. So we might get this going, do a 2 o'clock late night show. And my idea for a location was the hot dog cart outside the Pell.
It's a good thing.
Because I will be passed out under it.
Yeah.
So
live on location, G's and Hustlers at 2 a.m. starting.
What you call appointment listening.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Chris Brook about this, try to get some sponsors, get the ball rolling here.
Yeah, that'll
be sponsored by the hot dog cart.
Yeah, exactly. Remus, some errors that we've made, some corrections that we've made
sure.
At the program today.
This will be a new end of the show errors. I wouldn't mind a little theme music, but that's okay. All right, Drew, you mentioned Val Venus was in the WWF. You actually can't say that anymore due to a lawsuit with the World Wildlife Fund, so it's WWE.
WWE.
And you wondered if Mark Flood ever played for the Canucks. He did not. Last time he played was with the Islanders in 2009-2010.
So far, these are just corrections of things I've said.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Richie and I don't make mistakes.
Oh, I made a mistake.
Was that the point of the segment?
No, I made a mistake. Remus told me.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was going to grab it. Oh, yeah. Drew said Slater was drafted 26th, 27th overall. It was actually 30th.
Yep. Oh, come on, Drew.
Ezzy wondered who Ron Hainsey's agent was for his contract. It was Matt Keeter, who's also Blake Wheeler's agent.
That's right. We had him on air.
That's on speaking.
We had him on a legal curve.
He's guest on the show.
That's not even error. That's Remus just being a good guy and making me look good.
Do we have the handcuffs he put on Don Waddell before getting that deal?
or the videotape that he had.
All right.
Photos.
For everyone to call Richie, you know, Richie said GST line 10 goals, 140 games, 12 goals in 150 games. And lastly...
Oh, come on.
This is a tough, tough stat boy.
Lastly, Gary mentioned that, you know, when you have... A player from each team on in the All-Star game, you get some guys who shouldn't be there. Namely, some All-Star in baseball, they have that rule very strict. Some All-Stars from the KC Royals, Ken Harvey, Gil Mesh, and Mark Redman.
Good, point, good players.
It was a terrible, terrible All-Stars.
But you know, as a Jet, I want to see a Jet there. I think you should.
I'd rather all the Jets get rested and healthy, to be perfectly honest.
No, Reem, you're right.
It's like stressful for them to go and play.
No, certainly not.
First year back in the NHL, you have to have a Winnipeg Jet. Yeah, Reem, good job, because you did a lot of
fact
checking there.
Way to give it 110%.
Yeah.
That's, do some reporting.
That's good. We appreciate that very much. So you can do the stat. You can be the stat boy on Ezzy's and Hustler's new show.
Yeah,
also,
yeah. Let's be honest. There's not going to be any stats there.
No, that's just going to be a lot of slurring of words.
The only stat might be our blood alcohol level.
This is a good stat to have. Yeah, should we wrap it up with some cheers and jeers?
Yeah.
Okay. Why don't we do that?
Cheers. Good.
He's brilliant.
He's a good guy.
And jeers.
No, not good enough. He's a bad boy.
I never seen something like this.
Surprisingly not good.
Richard.
I'm going to give a jeer this week to Alexander Ovechkin. You know, you're ambassador to the game. You're considered one of the top players in the game. You have to go to the All-Star game. There's a bunch of fans, young kids, who want to see you play. You want to see you do the skills comp. I see the pictures of him in Miami. I mean, that's a joke as far as I'm concerned. Don't use a suspension as an excuse. I've never heard a worse excuse ever. You have an obligation. Gretzky always used to say it. There's somebody in there who's going to see you for the first time in an arena. You get to put on a show. And he clearly is too selfish to do that.
Let me just ask you this one. It's sort of additional to cheers and jeers. Do you buy any of the rumor that he would have been the last person picked and that's why he decided not to go?
You can't predict that.
I don't really care if that's the case or not. I would have got a car out of it.
Terrible car.
Exactly.
What was it, Ezzy?
A Honda Cross Tour,
which someone said is discontinued now.
Yeah, somebody mentioned that. So we'll see if we can...
Similar to our show.
Ezzy, cheer or jeer?
I'm going to cheer the Regina Pats. They've decided to go ahead and with a Rick Rippon bobblehead night, and they had planned this obviously before the passing of Rick Rippon happened, so I'm going to cheer them. Rick Rippon played for the Regina Pats, obviously, he's one of the most popular players, so they've decided to go ahead and honor him with a bobblehead night, and I think that's great.
Money's going to charity, right?
Yeah, and there will be money from the sales of the bobbleheads going to charity, Kidsport.
Good. Yeah, that's a very good cheer. I'm going to cheer Brian Elliott. You know, Brian Elliott had a terrible last year with the Ottawa Senators, and this year, complete 180 on that. He's been absolutely outstanding for the St. Louis Blues. Came back to Ottawa as an All-Star. They got a nice ovation. He looked thrilled to be there. You know, a guy who really was probably at his wit's end, thinking his career was almost done after his performance last year. Mm-hmm. And this year, he turned it around, came back, nice ovation from the Ottawa fans, who had been criticized over the way they treated some of the Leafs. You know, I thought it was... I don't really believe that to be fair criticism, by the way. I would expect Ottawa to boo Toronto all day long and twice on Sundays.
Well, during the fantasy draft, I mean, Joffrey Lupo was getting booed every time he went
up. He should! If that's their rivals.
You should get booed for watching the fantasy draft. No. but you know what? One thing on that point, Drew, about Brian, absolutely right. And I'll tell you one thing. Ken Hitchcock's a goalie's best friend.
Yeah, absolutely. The way he designs his systems in order, not necessarily to protect his goalies, but to certainly help them. And it inflates their stats a little bit.
Stevie Mason, what's going on there? You know?
Yeah, well, there you go. Exactly. That's the problem. That's it for this Saturday here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We, of course, will be back next Saturday. Richard and I and Remus, as he's out in Montreal, as he have a good trip.
I hope
we don't speak to you for the next couple weeks.
Love
to be
Montreal.
Yeah.
Best party city in the world, in my opinion. Yeah, love Montreal.
You're definitely, and this is a guy who in New York didn't go out, rather spent an afternoon in his hotel room.
I did a little bit of partying.
Yeah,
well, I didn't go to Soho like Richie, but I mean,
that's not bad.
I'm not pretty enough to go to Soho.
Big thank you to James Gordon of the Ottawa Citizen. Big thank you to Bobby Holik from holikonhockey.com. Big thank you to Gary Lawless, and a big thank you to Alex Steen, the Amadeus Steen Foundation. You can check that out. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Illegal Curve. Remember to support Illegal Curve's sponsors, Carbone Coal-Fired Pizza, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, The Cheer Bar and Grill, and David Carr of Monopoly Realty. Our website is www.illegalcurve.com. In case you missed any of the program, it will be available for download on iTunes. Search for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, subscribe, and get it sent to your iPod each and every week. Until next Saturday afternoon, if it's Saturday, it's Illegal Curve Hockey.
You've been listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Join us again for serious hockey talk, Saturdays from noon to 3. The Illegal Curve Hockey Show, only on TSN 1290. Your official home of the Winnipeg Jets.